Thanks for holding while I went through that. This is very exciting news, though. Halford W. McCoy is a historian and current professor of history at the Center for Southeast Asian Studies, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He received his undergraduate degree from Columbia University, PhD from Southeastern Asian History from Yale University. He primarily researches and writes about Philippines history and the Golden Triangle drug trade practices of our loving government. He wrote The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia, a landmark work documenting the interaction between the CIA and the drug trade in Southeast Asia. And he goes on, read the bio, we'd be here 10 years later. He's an expert on CIA torture going back into the late 40s. And he joins us to focus in on the facet of torture and exactly what they do, not just in the public torture camps of Abu Ghraib or Camp X-Ray or the internal CIA camp within the camp, but the actual black op, black world torture centers in the former gulags of Eastern Europe. Thank you for joining us, Alfred W. McCoy.
Thank you, sir.
You heard my little rant and diatribe about the Republic on its knees bleeding to death. I just want to get your take on where you think we are right now, sir, geopolitically, and with the police state unfolding. Give us your analysis, and I'd like to get into the bill that Bush finally signed today, the what they're calling the torture bill. Of course, it's much bigger, but first, please just give us your overview of a historian watching this and studying other societies, where you think the Republic is.
We're unfortunately mired in a situation, actually two situations, rather akin to the 1960s with Vietnam. We blundered into two wars that were poorly planned, devised largely for ideological reasons, with the preparation being done rather poorly, blundering in, responding in a kind of ad hoc basis to what the enemy is doing rather than having a coherent, successful strategy from the outset. And we're getting mired ever deeper in two quagmires. And we're defaulting to some of the worst aspects of covert warfare strategy that we developed during the Vietnam War. In South Vietnam, we developed the so-called Phoenix Program under the CIA, a comprehensive program to break the Viet Cong communist underground with counter-terror, counter their terror with our counter-terror. And the Phoenix Program tortured countless tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Vietnamese. According to the CIA's official statistics given by the director before the U.S. Congress, the CIA Phoenix Program was responsible for over 20,000 extrajudicial executions. It was comprehensive, brutal, and it, I think, alienated the Vietnamese people and ultimately contributed to the defeat of the United States in Vietnam and the discrediting of the war among the American people. Well, of course, in Iraq, right from the outset, we began using those tactics, and I suspect that as we learn more and more about the kind of netherworld of dirty warfare in Iraq, we're going to find out that they are using Phoenix-like tactics, particularly militia squads, death squads, where it took us basically 30 years to discover the full depths of U.S. Behavior in Vietnam.
And we found people like Senator Kerry, not the former presidential candidate, folks, the other Kerry, were actually Phoenix operatives, and look at how they were rewarded.
Well, one of the interesting things about the Kerry revelations, there was revelations that he, as a young lieutenant in the Navy SEALs, went into a village in the Mekong Delta, and he admitted to being involved in the slaughter of probably 20 women and children. At the time those revelations came out, nobody said it was Phoenix Program, but it probably was Phoenix Program. It was the only such program operating like that in Vietnam. More recently, the Toledo Blade, a family newspaper in Toledo, Ohio, won the Pulitzer Prize in 2002 for its investigations of the cover-up surrounding something called Tiger Force. And this was a unit of the 101st Airborne that for a period of 6 months, under the orders of its superiors, field-level officers, lieutenant colonels, and colonels, slaughtered literally hundreds of South Vietnamese civilians, mainly unarmed women and children, as, again, an attempt to use counterterror in a tough Viet Cong area.
You see, when Americans hear the term counter-terror, we think of guys running around in black uniforms saving us from terrorists, but it is kind of like a little lawyer doublespeak. Our government knows exactly what it means. Let's fast forward. I mean, I specifically want to get your expertise on the black world camps in Eastern and Central Europe because, I mean, as bad as Abu Ghraib and the other, you know, 30-something camps in Iraq and the two camps at Camp X-Ray, both the outer and the internal CIA base, I've done quite a bit of study, Professor. I know you've probably done more. What specifically, and what, and we know it's the same players that helped run this stuff in the 60s are over this today and in our government. What do you know about what, who's being taken to and what's happening in the really brutal camps in Europe?
Well, first of all, those camps were exposed by the Washington Post. They didn't name them. They deleted the sites at the request of the U.S. government. But the camps were, there were two camps of approximately eight camps were operating worldwide from Europe to Southeast Asia. And one was located in Romania, and the other, which has a more specific designation, was operating in a place near Szczesny, Poland. And actually, the German news magazine Stern sent correspondence to Poland, and through contacts in Polish Secret Service, they specifically identified and described the camp. So it's pretty clear that there was this camp in Poland. The camp shifted, and it seems that the personnel, the captives, were held in bunches and moved around from camp to camp. We don't know the precise details. But they were
now, again, you talk about a rogue government, folks, a government so criminal that they have to move their torture camps around because they're so illegal they can't let the press cover it. I mean, that is just unbelievable.
Initially, they were of dubious legality. President Bush, in early 2002, gave the CIA executive authority for a dozen so-called enhanced interrogation techniques that include, most importantly, a technique called waterboarding. And this is actually a 16th century torture technique. I found an extract in a 1541 Parisian judicial manual, which has a graphic of waterboarding.
Sir, they actually have a graphic at the Tower of London. I was just there last year.
Right, and that was called in 1541 in a French interrogation manual for the French Inquisition, Torturae Gallicae Ordinariae, standard French torture. In March 2005, the director of the CIA, Porter Goss, came before the U.S. Congress, and he called that exact same technique a professional interrogation technique. So in 1541, it's standard French torture. In 2005, the Bush administration rebrands it into a professional interrogation technique, and I would submit that in the 16th century, they knew what was torture and what wasn't torture. Okay.
Well, exactly. So 400 plus years ago, they're calling it torture.
Now we're calling it professional interrogation technique. And that is actually, that goes right to the core. The question of what is torture and what is not torture in this government has really revolved around definitions. Most notoriously, in August 2005, when an assistant attorney general in the Justice Department, Jay Bybee, now a federal judge, wrote a famous memo in which he allowed, he said that basically he parsed some obscure and irrelevant laws and administrative codes, actually relating to Medicare, and he redefined torture, saying that it was a required severe mental pain, which is psychological torture, had to rise to the level of pain that's caused by organ failure. In other words, through this redefinition, the Bush administration allowed torture right up to, but not including, death.
Yes, and that's exactly what then Alberto Gonzalez wrote, that it isn't torture if it doesn't kill them, but if they accidentally die, it still isn't torture. That's in the memo. And then you, why do you think you wrote a memo and then even publicly at a CFR meeting stood up for his memo saying that they can even torture little children with pliers on their genitalia? Why? What's wrong with these people to go even that far?
Well, it really comes down to, in a certain sense, the foundational law in the United States. Let me explain. If you look at the law, the Military Commission's law signed by President Bush today in Washington, D.C., okay, you look there, okay, there's two aspects, okay? The law clearly bans brutal physical torture, all right? We've always done that, okay? But the distinctively American doctrine of torture, developed by the CIA during the 1950s and propagated throughout the U.S. intelligence community and among our allies in the Third World throughout the Cold War, is a very different, distinctively American technique, psychological torture.
Well, I've interviewed former Special Forces, Green Beret, Commandos, colonels who would openly on the show admitted, you know, hooking electrodes to women, electrocuting them, doing all of this. And then he even got sued for going public, and then he beat the Special Forces Association in court, and it was all documented. So,
sure.
I mean, it's incredible.
But now, if you look at that law, the Military Commission's law, signed by President Bush, okay, when it comes, there's this paragraph called definitions, and it says, you know, the definition of severe mental pain under this law is as prescribed in Section 2340 of the U.S. Federal Code, okay?
Now, and that's the one that says, sure, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. That was actually adopted back in 1995, okay? In 1994, the United States ratified the U.N. Convention Against Torture, abolishing all practices that inflict severe mental and physical pain upon a detainee, okay? Then the United States, in that same year, said, we ratify this convention, but we also did so subject to four detailed paragraphs of diplomatic reservations, saying, in effect, we ratify this treaty except. Okay, and
basically signing statements by the State Department.
Well, it's by the U.S. government. I mean, it's a standard diplomatic practice. Now, if you look at those four paragraphs of diplomatic reservation, what they do is basically they're all focused on a single word in the 26 printed pages of the U.N. treaty. That word is mental. And basically what we did is we said, look, we accept that severe physical pain is outlawed, but we are going to redefine severe mental pain in order to protect the CIA's psychological torture paradigm. And if you look at that definition, okay, among the dozens of very sophisticated CIA psychological torture techniques, including waterboarding, there are only four practices that are banned under Section 2340. Everything else is permissible. Those practices are, for example, forcible injection of drugs. Well, the CIA hasn't done that since the 1950s. Severe threats against a third person. Okay, severe physical pain. Okay, we don't do any of those things. So, in effect, Section 2340 bans four practices that we don't use, and everything else.
Well, see, I don't even agree with the definition that dunking somebody's head in water or putting a bag over their head and pouring water into it doesn't cause pain. The panic, the sucking the water down the nose, that's extremely painful.
Right, it is. I mean, water torture simulates death. There is nothing more painful to the body than nearly dying, okay? And it's perfectly legal under this law signed by President Bush.
But it's loving. Professor, one final segment with you. I want to go through some more of these forms of torture. But folks, torturing children's good. It's of the Lord. All the TV shows, well, they do it on 24.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
As snow falls on the majestic Rocky Mountains, it eventually melts. The water east of the Continental Divide travels downhill over 1,600 miles before reaching the Atlantic Ocean. On the western side, water travels downhill almost 1,000 miles to reach the Pacific Ocean. As you ponder this miracle, ask yourself this question.
How many people and animals has that water passed through before it reaches my area?
Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. At the heart of these portable systems are the Black Berkey purification elements. So powerful, these elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and yeah, they can purify that downward flowing water. Berkey purification systems get rid of the unhealthy stuff in your water while leaving the healthy, beneficial materials that your body needs. For more information on the powerful Berkey purifiers, call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call today. That's 888-803-4438 or visit us on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit herbalhealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of
We have about a two-minute clip of Lord Bush's signing statement today on top of the legislation basically making him God Emperor of the United States and the rest of the planet. But again, they can pass laws saying black people aren't human beings, as they've done before. It doesn't mean it's a real law. Talking to Professor Alfred W. McCoy in our final segment with him. How much of this torture is really going on, and what type of individuals do they psychologically test for who will carry out these types of torture? And then from all the experts I've just talked to, they say that torture doesn't even really work unless you're looking for false confessions. Please enlighten us.
Sure. Okay. First of all, what's going on right now? Look, at the start of the war on terror, the Bush administration gave orders for these enhanced techniques. The Defense Department under Donald Rumsfeld simultaneously in late 2002 issued parallel orders that turned Guantanamo basically into a ad hoc behavioral laboratory for the perfection of the CIA psychological torture paradigm. These techniques and the general signal that the gloves were off ramified around the globe and reached even conventional U.S. combat units in Afghanistan, units like the 82nd Airborne in Iraq, and so that the abuse became really widespread. Ordinary soldiers were doing brutal tactical interrogations using basically CIA sophisticated techniques of sensory deprivation and self-inflicted pain, puddings, dress positions, short shackling, long shackling, all of that. This is all part of a comprehensive doctrine. Now, what's happened is that actually the yield was, despite what President Bush has said in September 6, when he introduced this current legislation, the Military Commission Law 2006, into Congress, despite his claims that it works, the yield has been very low, and the revelations about the torture has been politically disastrous. So we're basically pulling back. President Bush announced on September 6 that he's closing all of the CIA black sites and transferring 14 top al-Qaeda to Guantanamo. Moreover, we're now moving away from the harsh, less controlled interrogation Guantanamo. Basically, we've had the same batch.
But my point is, you can't believe any of these people now who go to trial and say they did it, because they even some of them have been in torture camps for 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, but right now what's going to happen is that under the Military Commission's Law 2006, that this coerced testimony, particularly old testimony...
It's allowed.
It's allowed, okay? They have to assess the probative value, but basically it's allowed. And here's another thing that's truly appalling. I mean, truly
So we've
appalling.
Got kangaroo courts with people that were publicly tortured, and that was the point of these all along, as they admitted, for a laboratory of torture and to get fake confessions. Go ahead.
No, the other thing is that under the Military Commission's law, that when somebody is convicted before the military commissions in Guantanamo, whose regulations, by the way, have yet to be defined, then they can appeal upon the conviction to the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. And the U.S. Court of Appeals will then be asked to evaluate the probative value of coerced or tortured testimony. In other words, for the first time in the 200-year history of the American Republic,
they're going to be entering torture evidence into evidence.
Right, which is absolutely barred, for example, under the Fifth Amendment, okay, which bans self-incrimination. Why in 1791 did the framers of the Constitution ban self-incrimination? Well, it wasn't so that the mafia could stand up 200 years later and refuse to testify. No. In 1791, the only form of self-incrimination was that people, when tortured, would testify against themselves, okay? And so in order to block tortured testimony in the U.S. courts, we have the Fifth Amendment ban on self-incrimination in the U.S. Constitution.
Well, because of this, Professor, we can't believe any testimony ever coming out of these dungeons. And the courts to begin with are kangaroo courts, and even if the court finds them not guilty, the president can still keep them. Professor, it sounds like you've got a little more to add. Let me talk to you during the break for just one moment, because I want you to be able to finish this thought.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now into the second hour, just got 5 minutes left with Professor Alfred W. McCoy, best-selling author, professor, researcher. And he was just going over the Military Commissions Act that Bush finally signed today. It has been signed. We've coming up after the break, I'm going to play a clip of Bush and a disgusting signing statement by him. And we were just covering the key fact that it's codified in the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination. Torture, of course, is banned in criminal law because common sense and history shows that torture doesn't work for really getting answers out of people that are really, quote, criminals or whatever super criminal term they use like terrorist. It's only good for terror by the state against the population and to get fake confessions. And that is what all the scholars, we've interviewed scores of them, have come to that opinion. Former JAG officers, special forces commanders, you name it, history. And Mr. McCoy was getting into some of the final facets of this, but think about it. This Military Commissions Act allows them to use torture evidence in court. It's just unbelievable. So you can believe nothing that comes out of these people's mouths. Let's go back to Mr. McCoy. Professor, please finish up your statement.
Sure. The implications of tortured evidence, not just for the U.S. courts, but more broadly for the U.S. intelligence community, is really quite upsetting. Look, 1,800 years ago, a Roman jurist named Ulpian, who dealt with torture as a daily event in his practice, said, torture is a difficult, delicate, and deceptive thing. For, he said, the strong will resist, but the weak will say anything to end the pain. And everything we've learned in the 1,800 years about torture, your sources as well, tell us that that's really true. The strong, men like John McCain, when tortured, he resisted. And the weak, people like Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libby, he cracked and he started saying anything. Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libby was picked up by U.S. forces in Afghanistan during our invasion in late 2001. He was initially interrogated by the FBI. The CIA took him over. They rendered him to Egypt, where he was brutally tortured. And he began giving evidence saying that Saddam Hussein's government had trained al-Qaeda in weapons of mass destruction. This evidence worked its way through the intelligence community, wound up in Colin Powell's desk, and standing up in front of the United Nations, speaking as Secretary of State in February 2003, Colin Powell said that we had verified intelligence that Saddam Hussein had trained al-Qaeda in weapons of mass destruction. Colin Powell's source was Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi. Well, Colin Powell now repudiates that statement. A year later, the CIA branded him a fabricator and retracted formally all statements made by al-Libi.
Let's expand on this.
Let me just make a point. We've only got one minute left.
Sure, go ahead.
Here's the serious point, okay? Why did he make those particular statements at a time when forces inside the U.S. intelligence community were basically looking for just that evidence, okay?
Because that's what they wanted.
Was he tortured to say what they wanted so they could type it up in a report, stamp it classified, and put it up through the intelligence community? In other words, when you allow torture inside your intelligence process, you're polluting the entire integrity of the intelligence process. Nothing is credible.
And it's very dangerous for a country. And at the same time, now when our troops get captured, how are we going to complain when they get tortured?
There are four senior Judge Advocate General officers, admirals and generals, who appeared before the U.S. Congress when this bill, the Military Commissions Law 2006, was being debated, and saying, don't do it. Don't pass this law.
And in closing, Professor, we're out of time. This has now sanctioned it, though, worldwide. A new dark age has begun because land of the free, home of the brave, is now land of the torture dungeon.
This is going to be one of the worst acts of the U.S. Congress. This is going to be something we're going to look back on, like the Korematsu decision, the incarceration of the Japanese Americans during World War II. This is a discredit to the United States, and the sooner it's undone, the better.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you for joining us today, Professor Alfred W. McCoy. And folks can just type your name into Google and find out about your books and websites and writings, and we have links to it at InfoWars.com. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
All right, we appreciate his time. We're going to come back and get into the...